Yeah.
Monkeys Monday. Yeah, Monkeys Monday. Yeah.
It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It is Monday, and my dad will be calling in to tell a joke because it's a jokey time. Esmeralda enjoys the monkeys.
Yeah.
And so this Monkeys Monday is always you makes you happy. I just saw you bopping around like a nut.
It's a good song. And I was just watching on PBS a Carole King thing. She wrote that song.
She
along with her partner.
You know, have you ever just looked at a list of songs that Carole King is responsible for? Because it's stunning.
They were playing a lot of them. I was like, what? She did that one?
Oh yeah.
She did this? I was like, I was amazed.
Oh no, it is unbelievable. I mean, how many unbelievably great songs that Carole King has written.
Yeah. I also just find that whole situation where they had it was like a factory.
The Brill Building, yeah.
Yeah, it's just insane that they could just pop songs out like that.
Absolutely. It's an incredible period of time for songwriting in that building. I mean, and the people who housed that building, people who were in that building writing all those songs. I have not seen Beautiful. have you seen it, Dan? You haven't seen Beautiful, have you?
No, I have not.
Everybody I know who's seen it says it's great. Beautiful, for those of you who might not know, it's the Carole King story. It's a musical. And it's playing, actually, here in Chicago, I think, and for a few more weeks. It's down on one of the Broadway in Chicago theaters there on Randolph. I want to say it's at the Oriental. But, yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be great. And, you know, a couple of years ago on the Tonys, when it did so well on the Tonys. The girl, by the way, who played Carole King on Broadway, I don't know if she's touring with the show, but she's from Chicago. The girl who played Carole King in the original Broadway production of Beautiful. So, I got to see Carole King. Carole King and James Taylor played a gig together at the UC a few years back, and it was in the round. It was so good. It was so good. And they were on stage together. Like, they did songs together, and then, like, he would leave the stage, and she would do some stuff, and then she would leave the stage, and he would do some stuff. It was really great. Just great.
The last date for the Carole King musical was this past Sunday.
So yesterday?
Oh, man.
And somebody texted in that Roger Badish and his wife saw it during the week, and they loved it.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but great things about it. Well, I don't know why we're talking about it. You can't see it unless you want to go to another city.
Go to New York.
Go to New York and see it on Broadway.
It's an excuse. A little vacation.
See it on the Great White Way. Oh, man. All right. So, monkeys. Yeah. Monkey Monday. Hey, before we get to... we're going to talk about sequels that received Best Picture Oscar nominations. And there have been sequels that have received Best Picture Oscar nominations. And some that have gone on to win the Best Picture. And we'll get into that because it's Oscar week. And so we're going to do some Oscar-themed topics, you know, throughout the week to get you all ready for Sunday's presentation. But I do want to mention, Esmeralda, we talked at the top of the show. Esmeralda finally came out, was able to come out because it was a Saturday night, was able to come out to one of my film club events. And Esmeralda, you give it a thumbs up. It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah. Really cool, cool place. Beautiful theater. The food is great at Bogart's. It's a full bar. You can eat and have drinks during the movie. And it's, you know, they're giant love seats that you can sit in. You know, get more leg room than in most living rooms. It's pretty ridiculous. I normally host these things on Tuesday nights. It's usually the first Tuesday of each month. And very quickly, let me run down some of the movies that are coming up in the coming months. And I'll give you all the details on the next movie club event. And I hope you guys can make it out because it's so much fun. It's really a good time. And it's cheap, man. It's only $10 to get in to see the movie. Parking is free. It's real easy to get to the Movieco Theater in Rosemont. It is a great facility. it's just a blast. And you get to see some movies that maybe you've never seen on the big screen before. And that was the case, Esmeralda, for you. You had never seen Scarface on the big screen, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. I'm pretty crazy, right?
It was, yeah, no, it was ridiculous. It was pretty awesome, though.
Yeah. Lots of blood, lots of F-bombs, and piles and piles of cocaine.
Yeah, I had to turn my head at the chainsaw bit.
Oh,
it was,
yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of people closing their eyes during that scene. My mom was one of them. She was sitting next to me. Chainsaw scene. She's like, ugh!
I mean, they don't show anything, but it's just the noise and the splatter. Ugh.
Yeah, there's blood shooting all over the place and stuff. And they had to cut that scene down to avoid an X.
Well, good.
As I talked about afterwards. I tend to blah, blah, blah at those things, but people seem to enjoy it.
Well, no, it's not like you're just up there talking about nothing. You're talking about the movie.
Yeah, it's true. So the next one is one of my favorite movies of all time, John Carpenter's The Thing. If you've never seen this movie on the big screen, do yourself a favor. It is such an amazing movie. This is one of those cases where the remake is actually better than the original. And the remake is a lot different than the original sci-fi film from the 50s. Kurt Russell is in this movie with his extraordinary beard. In his finest bearded performance. Dan, you've heard this before, that my friends and I actually one night when we were just kind of hanging out at the bar, we made a list of best bearded performances. This is the kind of intellectual fervor that is inspired by hanging out with me and my friends. We'll spend 3 hours discussing good bearded performances. And we all decided that Kurt Russell's performance in The Thing is the number one bearded performance of all time.
Now, was there bad acting performance with great beards, or did it have to be the combination?
We had to use like a combination of the two, but there certainly have been bad performances by bearded actors. Absolutely. No question about it.
But none made the list.
No, not in, like, we best bearded performances. We didn't go, I mean, you know, you could admire Robin Williams' beard in a lot of movies, but he's not good in a lot of movies. But, you know, we're talking great performance and great beard. And Kurt Russell has both in The Thing. And The Thing is, we're doing it Tuesday, March 8th. The tickets are on sale right now, so make your reservations now. You go to movieco.com. It's MUVICO. MovieCo.com, MUVICO. Go to the seating chart, pick out the seat that you want. It'll be waiting for you in the beautiful Premier Theater on Tuesday, March 6th at the MovieCo Theater in Rosemont. If you've not seen The Thing, it's a great movie. It's about this alien being that infects a bunch of guys at an outpost in the Antarctica, And, you know, these guys are all trapped, and one of them may not be the thing, or may not be human, because this alien thing takes on the shape of a human. So you don't know who's who. You don't know what's going on. The special effects by Rob Bottin in this movie, the special effects, the makeup special effects, are unparalleled and have never been matched by anybody. And when you see this movie on Tuesday, March 6th with me at the film club, I want you to realize that nothing in the movie has CGI. There is not one moment of computerized special effects in The Thing. It's all on-set practical effects. And to this day, it measures up to anything that anybody has ever done with CGI. So scary, creepy, funny, awesome, beautifully directed, beautifully photographed, with a great score by Ennio Morricone, who is nominated this year for his score for The Hateful Eight. And it is great. If you've never seen it on the big screen, get out and see The Thing, a horror masterpiece. Tuesday, March 6th, get your tickets now. Reserve your seats right now. $10 to get in. Parking is free. Go to movieco.com, MUVICO. Movieco.com, MUVICO. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up, and then we'll get into some Oscars, sequels that have been nominated for Oscars, and more right here on WGN. Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace. Look out in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I yeah. Monkeys Monday. This is all because of Esmeralda.
Aw, thanks, guy.
That's Dan spinning the discs in there. Busting out the monkeys for Monkeys Monday. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here. Here till 5 o'clock, opening bell at 5, and my buddy, the great Steve Cochran, at 6. You know, before the break, we were talking about my screening this coming March 8th. it's March 8th, Tuesday, March 8th, my screening of John Carpenter's The Thing. And then I was just, like, going online and looking on the Facebooks. And I've told I told you guys this. I mentioned this at the Scarface screening on Saturday because, you know, I was plugging The Thing, my screening of The Thing, which is on Tuesday, March 8th. And I was talking about John Carpenter and how John Carpenter is my favorite movie maker and my favorite director. And I had the insane, incredible honor of, like, hanging out with him. I've interviewed him on my show twice. I led the Q&A at the Flashback Horror Convention in 2012, celebrating the 30th anniversary of The Thing. And I got to hang out with him and meet him. And I was a little bit, he was kind of looking at me a little weird, Carpenter, because I brought 8,000 things for him to sign. I was an unapologetic geek, you know? Like, this guy, you know, when I saw Halloween, 13 years old, I saw Halloween, and it literally was the movie that changed my life. It was the movie experience. Everybody who loves movies has that one experience, that basically stays with them forever or changes them, and that was the first time I saw Halloween, that was it. So I brought, like, a ton of stuff for him to sign, and he signed everything, you know what I mean? He signed everything I gave him, but at one point he just kind of looked up at me after, like, the 56th time that he had to sign his name. He just kind of looked up to me and he goes, obsessed much? And I'm like, yeah, man, please. So, really cool guy. He's an older dude now. He's kind of grumpy. You know, he's a little bit, like, I don't want to make any movies anymore. It's a young man's sport. You know what I mean? He's just. So he also composes the music to all his movies, almost all of his movies. And he's composed great music. The score for Halloween, all of you, that's Carpenter. He composed that as well as directing the movie. And so he's a multi-talented, insanely talented guy, and he has released a couple of albums that don't. There are lost themes from movies and music that he never did for movies, and he's touring. He's got a band, and he's got a show together, and he's touring, and so he's not coming to Chicago. And with great disappointment, I looked at the dates last week and saw he wasn't coming to Chicago, but luckily I have three or four friends who are just as nerdy as I am. And we're renting a van, and we're going to Detroit. So that's I'm unapologetic geek dork nerd. I don't care.
Can you rent a van with maybe a wizard painted on the side?
Well, yeah, he's not really a sci-fi. Well, he has done sci-fi movies before, but he doesn't do the fantasy stuff.
Some sort of airbrushed.
Yeah,
mural
that would be appropriate. Yeah. Just a bunch of dudes driving from Chicago to Detroit to see John Carpenter in concert. I know, it's sad. Have I mentioned, Esmeralda, I'm single? Have I mentioned that?
How much stuff are you going to take this time?
I don't think I'm going to be able to get backstage and meet him unless. Okay. I mean, I still have connections. I know his people. So I might, I'll tell you something, man. The geeks that are going with me, if we were to get backstage, they would owe me forever. Forever. And they're going to be mad at me anyway. You know why, Esmeralda?
What are you doing?
I'm the only one who won't be drinking that weekend, and I don't have a license. So they're just going to be like, what the hell is the point of you coming along with us?
You do not have a license.
I have an ID. I don't drive.
At all? I mean, you know how, right?
Of course I know how to drive for, I don't know, 30 years I drove? No, not 30 years.
Well, I don't know. Why don't you have a
I drove for like 25 years.
You just never get the
I don't drive. No. No. So anyway, they're going to be mad at me. So maybe I should try to get backstage just so one of those guys is going to have to be a designated driver. on certain, you know, we're only going for one night, so I think they can control themselves, for God's sake. So, but anyway, so we're going, and we ended up getting, like, amazing tickets that one of the guys got them Friday morning. They went on sale on Friday morning, and we got, like, ninth row center. So we're beside ourselves, and it's at a place called the Masonic in Detroit. Now, I have not looked up the venue, so I don't know what the venue is like. I should check it out. But while we were at in the news and during the commercial, somebody posted on Facebook details about, they were like, John Carpenter live retrospective, you know, the Masonic July 15th. And that's when we're going. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to that. And I click it on. And not only is he, and now I'm just like, I'm beside myself now, Esmeralda. Now I'm like beside myself. Because not only is Carpenter going to perform music, original compositions and music from his movies and stuff. Not only is that happening, but they are also going to screen a 35-millimeter print of Escape from New York, and he's going to play along with it. I'm telling you right now, my brains are going to fly out of my head. There's going to be four guys in the ninth row at the Masonic on July 15th, at four guys recreating the scene from Scanners with our heads just...
I mean, I feel like there's going to be a lot of that.
Yeah, no, seriously, because, I mean... if that the room is going to be full of dorks like me. I mean, you know what I mean? It's yep. It's going to be dork central. Like, Dan, you'd never drive to Detroit to see John Carpenter. And would you get excited because they just announced that they're going to screen Escape from New York? Like, that makes me, I'm giddy like a schoolgirl. Now, Dan, you would, that's not.
Not for John Carpenter. I think for other things I would, but not John Carpenter.
You haven't found past set lists or anything?
No. Well, he hasn't started the tour yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I will, trust me. Oh, I'll be online looking at set lists. Oh, no, trust me. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my God. He does the transition scene from the boiler room to the operation room from Halloween 2. Oh, my God. That's my favorite cut. Honestly, I will be pissed if he doesn't do anything from The Fog. I'm telling you, I'm just telling you this right now. If he doesn't do the main theme from The Fog, I may have to rush the stage and start busting heads.
You should yell.
The Fog! Do the main title scene from The Fog! Get him out of here now.
Hello, this is Esmeralda Leon in the newsroom. We have an update on Nick DiGilio in
Breaking
Detroit
news.
Where he's been arrested for hugging and assaulting Ron Cameron.
And his reason? He posted bail, and upon posting bail, said he didn't play anything from The Fog. I think people in the room, except for security, they'd all understand.
You may hear this story again later in this week on You Big Dummy.
I'll get back from Detroit that weekend. It's a Friday night, so I'll be back on Sunday night, Monday morning. I'll be back Monday morning to tell everybody about it in great detail. And I could describe how we had to raise money for bail and stuff.
Maybe it could be a whole riot that happens.
What do you expect? You didn't do anything from The Fog. There might be an uprising of Carpenter dorks, Carpenter fans, being so pissed off because he doesn't do anything from The Fog. The Fog is my favorite soundtrack of his. But clearly. not of every... What are you going to say, Dan?
Clearly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's gonna play along with the screening of Escape from New York. That just makes the whole thing more special. I know neither of you, Dan and Esmeralda, are like, yes, that sounds great, Nick.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it sounds great. And then in their head, they're going, just humor the moron.
How far is Detroit?
I don't know.
That might be a fun topic one night, though, the band you would actually travel for.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, what is Detroit, 3 hours? 3 hour drive?
Ish, yeah.
Yeah, it's about 3 hours. I drove there for Dave Matthews. Now, I do have to preface this. This was when I was with my ex-wife, and her brother lives up there. And so it was an excuse to go and meet him, and he's also a Dave head. He's also a big Dave fan. It was an excuse to go up to Detroit, outside of Detroit, and see him, visit with my brother-in-law, and see Dave. So it wasn't, you know, this is, now I might be, my ex-brother-in-law, I might be calling him to say, hey, can you allow me and three other idiots to crash on your floor? I'm not married to your sister anymore, but do you think I can sleep on your floor?
Yeah, I imagine your van gets tipped over from the riot.
Yeah, I don't know. What a dork. Anyway, I'm single, ladies, in case you're wondering. I've seen Mad Max Fury Road 30 times. I just wanted to add that in case you were enticed, you know, in case I wasn't already magnetic enough. I'm driving to Detroit to see John Carpenter in concert with three other guys, and I've seen Mad Max Fury Road 30 times. I'm available. Swipe right, ladies. I'm a catch. I've been divorced twice. I wanted to add that, too, just so you knew. Okay. We got a break here for weather and traffic, and then we're going to get to sequels that received Best Picture Oscar nominations. We have an unfortunate Blackhawks Express to play, and my dad will call in and tell a joke because it's Monday, and it's a jokey, jokey, jokey time.